It's Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I am so excited to be here today. I have the most amazing guest for you. I have Leah Salent of Castle Black, and she's the lead singer, writer of her band. And she is here with me today, and we're here partly because we're celebrating the fact that she's going to be playing at the Lantern Hall this coming Saturday night, June 27th. And the show starts at 8. Castle Black's going to be on around 10. And if you want to go there, you should. It's right near the L train Morgan stop, and it's really, really close, just a couple of blocks, 52 Harrison Place. It's a really awesome place, and it's really an authentic Bushwick place. Great place to see bands, and I know that Lee's excited about being on this on that show, and probably this show too. Hi, Lee.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Anyway, but we were just talking. You said you played last weekend too. Right.
Yes, we played at a house party or house show in New Paltz.
Yeah, I was being really envious of Lee because she gets to travel with her band. And I was thinking about it. Doesn't it sound so exciting and glamorous? Because it is. And so is she. So we're going to play a bunch of her songs today, a bunch of the band songs, really. They're really, really awesome. It's fantastic music. And the band is definitely like a band on the rise. Because, first of all, everyone here at Radio Free Brooklyn says so. And we have, like, the most amazing group of music-educated, local band aficionados here. So that's one big reason. But if you go on the BlackCastleNewYorkCity.com website, you can see all the amazing reviews, which blew me away a little bit into... It's a little bit intimidating. But we're okay, right, Lee?
Yes,
we're okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you're cool.
I'm cool.
All right, so I just want, Lee, I want you to hear our music right away, but I want you to hear just a tiny bit about who's her band, who's in it, and what her music's about, that stuff. Go, quick.
I have a fabulous band, so I would be remiss if I didn't mention them. Lisa, we've got Lisa on bass and backing vocals, and Matt on drums. So we've been playing together a few years, and yeah, I mean, it's largely, you know, rock music, very alternative, grunge influenced, punk influenced, but you know, very melodic.
It's highly original, and it really doesn't fit neatly into any category, and they're great performers, so you should really see them. But just to get everybody started, I'm going to play this first song, Rise, and then we're going to get into the psychology behind it, okay? Okay, Lee?
Sounds good.
All right. And a one, and a two, and... Oh my God, where did it go? Here it is. So, Lee, tell us a little bit about your album while I'm gearing this up.
Well, Rise is off of the recently released EP, Trapped Under All You Know, which we released in August of 2017. And it's a four-song EP. The trajectory of the songs on the album, they kind of go in a storytelling order. So that was really important to us to kind of have that just plan for, you know, the way that the songs were ordered on the album. And this song, and Rise is the last song, I believe, on the album. And we'll talk about, you know, kind of the meaning of it after.
Jesus.
Whoa. So how does that feel? Like, how do you feel right now after hearing that? Like, what's that like for you? What's it like being a musician? What's that like?
It's cool hearing, you know, it's definitely cool hearing your song.
Yeah. Weird.
Because I don't know.
No. Do you feel like, oh, this is something I made out in the world?
Yeah, of course. And then you just hear it in different ways. In every new context where you hear your song, you kind of hear it in a different way. And then, you know, I look at you and see what you're doing, you know. Just you kind of just, it's interesting because you're so close to it. So trying to get some perspective on it is always fascinating.
It's interesting. Yeah. You know, it's funny because I relate to that in putting a piece of art out there. And it's really very similar. It's interesting seeing how these creative processes are the same. But anyway, I know that your work, although it's not like literally personal, I know that it all comes from a really personal place. So I thought it would be fun for me, maybe difficult for you, but you know, it'd be good to talk about like the emotions, like what you feel like where's that coming from? What are you trying to tell us?
Well, Arise, like many of my songs, when I write them, you know, it's not necessarily a conscious thing, but I do bring in different stories kind of into the same song. So there might be Arise is really a song for me. It was a song about kind of finding this inner power that you've been told your entire life that you don't have, and kind of that journey of going through that. But a lot of the imagery in that song I also pulled from a relationship that I was having at the time. So it's all kind of interesting because there's this crossover. And I think that's why a lot of the songs, you know, for many people, it's very easy to connect with them because they are very open in that sense. You can apply it to many things.
Mm-hmm. So can I ask you a little more? Can we go a little like more specific about, like, just
sure.
Give us one.
I love speaking vaguely.
Well, give us, you said about a situation like with the, in a relationship, and then, you know, what else you were talking about, like where you were at the time. Can you be a little more specific and give us maybe just a little insight into that?
Well, yeah, the whole song is, you know, is really about the concept of, yeah, just being told, never really being given encouragement in your entire life, you know, for whatever, and then having to find that on your own. So finding your way on your own and unleashing this power that you've always had, that's always been there, and you know that, but it's, you know, it's a journey to get there. But at the same time, when I was writing the lyrics, there was also, I was bringing in a lot of images from, you know, from a relationship I had at that point, which I also felt like this person who didn't really understand me, and you're just kind of, you know, you're going through the motions, and you're with someone that's supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to be so close with this person, the closest person in your life, and you realize that they're not. And I think that's the same thing that when I wrote the song really about the more, you know, being alienated and being kind of, you're told you're not good enough to do something. It was kind of the same way. Like I was in a situation with someone who wasn't even really supporting my dreams or my passions, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so it's like Rise, we're getting out of that.
Something that people will hate, but I think that happens a lot. And I've heard it a lot from, you know, women that are really driven, about the guy. But anyway, the point I was going to make was it seems like maybe that's a little bit of a pattern, like maybe some of the patterns that you brought growing up in your childhood were reflected back in the relationship, and that's where the tie-in could possibly be. I don't know.
I mean, it's possible. Just for me, it was, you know, it just stood out in my head. Like, there were just ideas that just kind of, you know, submit to both avenues of the song, you know.
So I wanted to get us to understand your background a little bit, because I think that it's relevant in right now, because as far as the obstacles you had to doing what you're doing now. I mean, you said like when you were growing up, I know that we had talked earlier, and you had actually really started out writing as a little kid. So why don't we talk about how your creative process came out of, you know, that, and you danced, you found your way into dance, all that stuff. Let's hear about that.
Right. Well, I think I was pretty quiet as a child. And I think I was, you know, I wasn't an only child, but my siblings were a lot older. So I spent a lot of time alone, and I wrote a lot, you know, even from a very young age, from when I was like five. And then I started dancing. So I think I fell in love with rhythm through dance, and, you know, continued when I was in high school writing poetry, and just really had this outlet writing short stories, like really just just that was my outlet, was through words, and then also through the body and through that kind of release. Mm-hmm. So I didn't start playing guitar until after college. And at that point, it just kind of all made sense to me because you have the performance aspect, you have the writing aspect, and you have just the music aspect.
And music and dance are really related, and right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, you're learning how to move through music, and I guess you're learning how to move words through music, sort of,
right,
in a way. But what were you trying, do you remember what you were trying to express as a little girl? Or was it just that you had a lot of thoughts going on in your mind? Or
I just really was always in my head. I didn't really feel like, you know, and I wouldn't really call it obstacles. I just didn't really feel like I fit in where I was. I didn't feel like that was my place. And I always felt that from a young age, that I was not where I was supposed to be.
Do you think, how much older are your siblings? You have two siblings, right?
Yes.
So how much older are they?
Like 10 to 12 years.
Do you think maybe that made you feel a little like an outsider?
I mean, it's possible because you're the, you know, you're the third child and you're coming in. And but I mean, I was always just a little bit set apart from, you know, from
you're a little
my
bit of
family.
A freak.
I was the black sheep in the best possible way. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't change that for the world. Mm-hmm. And I think it's those experiences, honestly, and the way that it came into music that make me able to say what I'm saying through my songs.
Right. Do you think you were more directed than the average girl you grew up with? Or more determined in a way?
I don't know. I think I had a lot to get through and a lot to figure out. Mm-hmm. And some people are able to, you know, just kind of zoom out of stuff and be fine right away. I mean, for me, it took me a little bit longer to find myself.
So what were the obstacles? Did you not feel supported in your creativity as a kid? Or
I didn't come from a musical family, so I wasn't.
What did
that
your parents
wasn't encouraged.
Do?
They were, I mean, just, you know, like, blue collar,
regular,
stuff, yeah,
blue collar people,
regular,
and they didn't like, they didn't have like a lot of music at home, and they didn't take you to, they weren't like cultivated culturally in any way, or
I mean, my dad listened to a lot of music, my older brother did, so I mean, I was around stuff that they listened to,
right,
and heard,
but like dragging you out to bands and stuff
no, definitely not. Yeah.
But what did they say about your creativity? What about your writing? What about your dancing when you're growing up?
I mean, they were totally supportive of writing and dancing.
What did they expect you to do? Not be a musician?
Well, I guess I wasn't really thinking of it then. But even when I thought of, you know, dance as a potential option, I mean, that's just not where they came from. And I think for me, it was really having to fall into my own thinking patterns, because you're just young and you don't
have a direct example there.
Right.
Did you ever think of being a professional dancer?
I mean, I did. You know,
what kind of dance
points.
Or what? You've been like modern dance?
I did a lot of modern ballet, tap.
Maybe ballet.
I mean, but tap is, I mean, I see your tap as a percussive expression is amazing.
You did tap.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Do you ever think, that would be great.
I still have tap shoes. So
have you thought about integrating it into, that would be awesome.
I have, because I've seen like one or two bands who have had a tap dancer, and I thought it was fucking amazing. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
I would love to see that. So tap dancing, I can see that as a really direct influence. But like, you went to college?
I did.
And what did you study in college?
Spanish literature.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
So do you speak Spanish fluently?
I used to speak better than I do now, but yeah. I mean, I do. I did. I can.
Languages and music are kind of related, I think, right? In the same brain area. So what did you think you were going to do when you graduated? What did your, you know, what was the expectation?
I think for me, honestly, it was just I wanted to get out of, you know, my town, and I really wanted to come to New York. So I just needed to think of a, you know, I just needed to make money and be able to come here. And then I would figure it out after that. I mean, the expectation for me, for my family was, you know, I did well in school and that I would, you know, go to college and not study something artistic, which I did, right? But it's, you know, you can't, when something is in you so strong, I don't think it's that easy to overlook.
So here's an important point, I think, that you just said, that you did well in school. So, in, like, you were somebody that your parents saw as trustworthy and somebody who was able to make things happen and somebody who was doing well, who was able to succeed in whatever situation you were in, kind of, right?
Well, yeah, but that's a dangerous place, because I think I was out doing things I shouldn't have been doing, but because I did well in school, no one really cared, so I could do whatever I wanted. and right. not, they wouldn't question it. I mean, they did, if they found out, they did. But I mean, I was out doing what I wanted because I did well in school.
Drugs and sex, I hope.
I won't say.
Yeah. She's in a band, drugs, sex, alcohol. What? Come on. But you know what? You can't be doing what Lee's doing if you're a deadbeat and you get overwhelmed by that stuff. That's the thing. But I can imagine that your parents giving you a lot of freedom because they, in their own mind, were allowed to trust you because the way society trusted you by doing well in school, they were doing their job. And so you were able to find your own way without having them on your case, maybe.
Well, it's a little different than that, kind of, but I mean, they were for other things, but
yeah,
you know,
how is it? I'm sure it's, yeah, tell us.
Well, no, it's just that, yeah, I mean, that's part of it, but I think also it's like the way they, yeah, just the way they were raised, I guess, and like the way they then passed it on to like how I was. It was just very, it was very easy to just know, and, you know, it's, I understood how people worked even at that young age. Mm-hmm. So I knew what I could get away with and what mm-hmm. I couldn't get away with.
Right, right. And you handled it all. I mean, I'm sure they're proud of you now, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so do they know that, like, were they ever worried about you?
Oh, for sure. But I don't know, like, I don't know to what extent. I mean, we have, you know, it's a different communication style than I would employ kind of mm-hmm. in my own life.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, you didn't have the Jewish mother I had. That's clear. Sounds like they treated you with respect, and that's right.
I mean, I just think it's you know, I don't know. I mean, I was young, and like we had our own problems. You know, like mm-hmm. we were the only. But again, it's what kind of brought me to where I am. Mm-hmm. So,
and also, it sounds like you were motivated a lot by coming to New York, and that was kind of a lot of your goal. It wasn't like, I'm going to be this or that. It's like, it's not like I'm going to be a dancer. I have to go to New York. It's like, I want to see the world. I want to have a life. I want to be I want to be open to that. I want to have whatever that is available to me so I can make whatever I want.
I just needed to get out of that. I needed to get out of small town suburbia. It was killing me. And
yeah,
I
can't
hated
imagine.
It.
I can't imagine. Well, we're glad you did.
No offense to small town suburbia, but it was not for me. And I knew that.
Some people love it. Some people move there. I met a woman who moved to New Hampshire last night, a great writer. So, you know, it's whatever, you know, it's, I mean, you seem to have good instincts about what makes you, you know, what's good for you. So that's what counts. So I'm going to do a station ID. And then when we come back, we're going to play the next song that we want to play today. And it's called Dark Light. Which also has a great video.
Yes.
On castleblackmusic.com. And I'm going to post that on my website. But I just want to remind first of all, I want to say thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Thanks for listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit is on every Thursday live 2 to 3. And we rebroadcast Friday 8 to 9. Whoops. And, you know, I also want to let you know that we're having a couple of live shows because we like to get out there as Radio Free Brooklyn people and meet the people and have fun and then do a lot of stuff. And I'm actually doing a live show myself called Who's More Annoying? And it's going to be really, really funny. And I'm going to show you that being in a couple for people on Valentine's Day that are thinking, God, I wish I had a partner. I'm going to show you the dark side of that, but also how important love and commitment and working through things are. So come see my new game show called Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, Who's More Annoying by Radio Free Brooklyn Presents. And it's at the Footlight, which is 465 Seneca Avenue in Ridgewood, Queens. We're also having a RFB Presents live showcase, one of our first Thursdays at the Well series, and we've got some great bands. We've got Queer Country, folks. Do you know about Queer Country, Lee? Right, you probably do.
I do.
You do, yeah.
I think I know the band. One of the bands playing.
Oh, okay. Karen and the Sorrows. Mm-hmm.
Great
band.
Yeah,
Americana of Nightmare of the Nightmare River Band. You know them.
I don't.
They're post-punk skronky tonkers. Oh, post-punk skronky tonkers, tatters, and rags.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And also, that's a really great way to meet all the hosts on Radio Free Brooklyn, because we all go to that. And the doors open at 8. It's at the Well, 272 Mesereau Street, right off the Mesereau stop on the Morgan L. So anyway, we got a lot of exciting stuff. I'm going to be busy next week. Jesus, I better get a lot of rest this weekend. So, okay. So
but you're coming to the show on Saturday.
On Saturday night.
Not that much rest.
Well, it starts at 10, so I can sleep till then.
True.
And, you know,
true.
Go, yeah, and then go to bed early. Okay. So the next song we're going to play is called, what did I just say? I've got so many pieces of paper here, Dark Light. And then we're going to talk about it. So listen up. Here we go. Dark Light. And...
Pursue me.
Hello. I wish we had a real audience here that we could be all clapping, because that's what exactly what would be happening. Are you going to be playing that one? Not sure.
On Saturday. No, yeah. Actually, I think we're starting with it on Saturday.
Good, yeah. Good. So I got to get there on time then.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I love that song.
Thank you.
And so it's really interesting, like dark light coming at me and stuff like that. So let's hear what's the thinking behind this.
Well, that song is, you know, a lot of the choices that I made in that song, just, you know, even from the structure and the way the song builds and the way that the lyrics, you know, in the pre-chorus build to the kind of frantic ending, you know, are just mm-hmm. very, very deliberate choices. The song has two, you know, kind of two parallel paths. A lot of it is really kind of, if you think of it from like the perspective of societal collapse and cycles and just going back to something and kind of like a rebel group out there after the apocalypse has happened, mm-hmm. you know, trying to survive, and that there's this really small pocket of people who want to do the right thing. And basically what caused the destruction of society were these really greedy, awful, horrible people. Mm-hmm. And you can see it happening, you know, because our mm-hmm. current environment, like what's going on. So you see it, right? And then again, it also, there are so many parallels there with being in a relationship of that type. And it doesn't mm-hmm. even necessarily have to be romantic, but it could be, but where, you know, you're just going through these cycles. I mean, it's just the same thing. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. at one point you feel like you can't get out of it, and you go back to it, and then you get out of it, and it's like this whole new world. There's this whole rebirth and stuff. So there's a lot of like rebirth and rebuilding mm-hmm. and total destruction in that song. And if you look at the video, that's kind of what we really wanted to capture, was the apocalyptic sense of it.
So you see, do you see the world that way, as sort of, I mean,
fucked up?
Well, yeah, fucked up, but also that there's a certain band of people who are sort of like you see yourself as an outsider.
Well, I just think, like, in terms of the world, it's, you know, look at what we're doing to the environment right now. I mean, it was already not like it was great, but under this current administration, mm-hmm. it's even worse. The things that Trump is doing to take away protections to the environment is absolutely horrible. So it's not far-fetched to see a society in which we've destroyed our entire planet.
So is this something that is a current, I mean, like, is this something that you see in like human nature, or is this something that you see, is this more political, like a recent thing?
No, I mean, I've always felt like that. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a time when I didn't feel like that.
I'm just curious, because I'm curious if it's sort of in your nature, one that I agree with personally, but.
Right. No, I mean, I can tell, when I worked at a drugstore when I was in, you know, my first job in high school, and they didn't recycle, and I used to take the cans home with me.
Really?
And I just, that's like, I mean, and people can say, oh, that's such a small thing, but it's like, yeah, it's a small thing, but you need to think like that, because if you're selfish and you're not thinking like that, what are you going to do in the rest of your life?
Well, see, that's interesting, because I could interpret what you were saying in so many different ways, you know, the environment being one of them, but also like the way that we say distribute money or something else.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But is the environment like a more consistent theme for you?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say like that song is about the environment, but that's just kind of an example, like in terms of uh-huh. what could potentially cause destruction of of society to get to that point where mm-hmm. we're sitting around like huddled trying to, you know, yeah. get to the next place and
are
get the next food.
Are you a little nervous? Is it scary to you?
It is what it kind of just is. Like, it's just what it, you know, I don't know.
Do
I don't like it.
Do
I don't feel, like right. this environment by any means, but I mean, I think it's really right now is about just speaking up when something isn't right, mm-hmm. and that's really important.
So is this
right now
the way of you speaking up then?
Well, I mean, I just think this song
or
just kind of
expressing it
came, like, that's just how it, that's just what it ended up being about, you know?
So but do you see yourself as somebody who has sort of made sacrifices to, like, do you see yourself, I mean, maybe I'm projecting, but like, do you see yourself as somebody who's sort of making sacrifices and other people aren't, kind of thing? Or
no, I just think that there's, and it doesn't just span that piece, but I think there are so many people that don't think outside of themselves, and I'm not saying I do it perfectly or whatever, but like, I mean, I think that's problematic. Like, when all you see is mm-hmm. yourself, and how does something affect you?
So you see that as a like theme that can be kind of a lens that can be put onto a lot of things that would make all of our lives better if people just thought about other people.
For sure.
Just that basic thought.
It's such a basic thing, and that's why it surprises me so much. Mm-hmm. I can't get into the mind of someone who decides to, you know, take down the bird's mating ground, you know, and take the protection off of that and then put these birds in danger. Like, I just don't understand that mentality. So it's hard for me to
Were you brought up around a lot of nature? I mean, a small town, was there nature, you know, was it rural at all or?
No, it was pretty shitty suburbia. I've always, you know, I've connected with nature. I mean, I love that. That's what we come from it. Like that's
nature's cool. I'm into nature.
I mean, animals, you know, there's just a lot. There are a lot of issues out there.
Can you make a connection with the relationship or the, you know, combination of relationships that you were talking about, like about that thought of thinking about yourself in a relationship, how somebody might have treated you better or something that might have, can you illuminate on that a little bit, how that translates for you, where somebody isn't thinking about themselves or if they had thought about themselves, it would have been better for the relationship. Can we learn anything there?
No, but I think honestly from the song, it goes to your point. I'm not like not answering that question.
No.
But I think the song Dark Lake can really be summed up if you look at the pre-choruses. Like the first one is we are nothing this way, and we won't last another day. And then you move on to the next one and it's like we are nothing today, moving forward again, we see no other way. You're back in it. You're back in whatever this destructive thing, whether that's society or not. And then the end, we are nothing this way, in another time, another day. Then what does that mean? I mean, is that projection? Is that fantasy? Mm-hmm. Is that real? Is that, what is that? And I think that's the question that it isn't answered. And I can't say I wrote it in any specific way, but I think it's beautiful because it's in another time, another day. You know, what is that?
So, well, it's so true. And it's also addresses the possibilities of being a human being and, you know, being in a relationship because I'm wondering, I guess, if you've had relationships where you've broken up and gotten back together.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you know, and a lot of stuff is timing. You know, it really is, I think. And that's kind of what that line really is about. It's like, it's not like maybe you're the wrong people for each other, but I mean, maybe it was the timing. Maybe there's a timing thing. And that's the same thing with, you know, if you think of it from a societal perspective, well, maybe, you know, in another world, in another universe, this wouldn't be happening.
Well, I could kind of see that because even now with, I can see that sort of like breaking up, you know, having breaking up with society and getting back together or whatever that means, whatever I'm trying to say here. But what I am thinking about is like how this administration is, you know, just ruining the environment, abusing the environment. And there's part of me, I mean, we're all very upset about it. And there's part of me that just kind of like hopes we get back together, meaning I hope that the next administration or when they send Trump to jail, whatever happens, things can be improved. The things that are most disturbing are the things that we know are being ruined that can't come back. But
and as I don't have children, right? But I don't understand how someone with children makes those decisions. I mean, you're taking away from every generation that is not even generations that haven't come yet. And I don't understand it.
Well, I think there's a lack of, I mean, I personally think that there's a real lack of consciousness. I don't think, you know, I mean, Trump is the golden example of somebody who can't think about others, cannot think outside himself whatsoever. So it's kind of a gold standard of what that is.
Right.
And I think that's pretty much what you're talking about.
Yes. Lack of consciousness. I mean, is exactly kind of what I was talking about before, but you said it perfectly.
Oh, good. Oh, now I feel good. Okay. So, the third song that we're going to be playing today is, and then, you know, stick with us because I'm going to try, hopefully we'll get to end a little early and I'll be able to fit in some more Black Castle because you guys have two CDs.
We have three. We have three EPs.
Three CDs.
As of right now, we're recording the next in February.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's coming up.
It is.
So, next song is Broken Bright Star.
And we're recording this video this weekend.
Whoa. It's good. Go. So, you know what I think that's about? You tell me. I'm just going to have fun and guess.
Sure.
So this is sort of what it sounds like to me. This is what it reminds me of. It reminds me of being with a guy who is kind of got like a huge amount of potential, broken bright star, and he wasting away. Like he keeps like, you know, like I had this boyfriend once who say, I think I'm going to paint today. I'm going to go get some paint on a canvas. And then nothing ever happens. And then he winds up feeling depressed. And then I wind up feeling bad about him. And then, it just escalates into like a lot of bad self-esteem on both people's sides for me. And then, there's a big apology, and then you go back again, and it's a like wasting away again. Is that relevant in any way? My projection there?
No, but I love it because that means that, you know, the song is highly interpretable, and that's what I want. So I want people to see their own reality in it, and that's great. That makes me so happy.
Oh, good.
So
good.
Yeah, not that was your situation, no. But that you can relate to that. Yeah, Broken Bright Star. I mean, Broken Bright Star is the title, and that is it's about a person that has so many good things going for them, so much potential, but is broken in so many ways. And, you know, I'm the type of person, I internalize things. I take on people's energy. I'm really empathic. So it's like in those situations, until you learn how to control that, you can end up really, really, I'm the one wasting away in that song. That chorus is wasting away. You have drawn yourself in. You have let yourself, you know, be in this energy. And the whole song is about getting out of that. And that's the best thing about that song is at the end, you know, will things end? Well, never began. And that's just the way it is. And it's like coming to that realization that is not, you have to know when to cut things off. And you can't always see this beautiful thing in someone. You have to really weigh, well, is there more negative to it than not?
Mm-hmm. Or like what's the possibilities, even though you know what they're capable of. If they can't do it, they can't do it.
And yeah, and you know, just like this thing that comes in and out of your life, and it's you know, it's you have to make that decision, and you have to be your own power. And
right.
I wrote that song actually for Brooklyn people. It was really fun. I was walking past McCarran Park. It came into my head, and I stopped, went in the park, and did a recording, you know, on my phone, so I didn't forget it. And
just like that. Just like that. Isn't that a fun talent to have?
Well, no, like that was the easiest song I've ever written, not to make it, but that really was. Like, and the song, like simple chords, it's like, it's,
yeah, yeah, but it really came out. It really, really came out of you. You know, it's interesting because you say, and this is makes sense to me the more I've spent time with you or whatever, or listened to you talk. Is that you are really empathetic, and I get that, and I get that you get what other people put out there, and it like seeps into you, I think, right? Is that
it's yeah it's dangerous, yeah. You know.
But I also think the way you present, as we like to say in psychobabble, is that people don't think they're affecting you. They don't realize how they're affecting you, I think. So in other words, I can imagine somebody being around you and not taking responsibility for their own behavior affecting you because they don't see it reflected in you in a superficial way.
Probably.
Is that right. True?
I mean, probably. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm extremely emotional. I'm very in touch with my emotions. Like, and I don't know. I guess people don't expect that, or that I don't know. Like, I'm listening to you too, if I'm spending time with you or whatever, or I am. That's not a frivolous decision. I, you know, find a lot of people really annoying. So, you know, I just think like not taking that lightly is not understood.
But I think it's really interesting for all of us. And I'm going to end on the interview on this note. I think it's really interesting for all of us because what I'm trying to say is that a lot of people are real sponges for you, your energy, everything about you, and they are noticing things about you that. We all notice things about other people we don't notice about ourselves, but a lot of times because somebody doesn't say something or they're not reacting, it doesn't mean that we're not affecting them. So the point is that we should all feel good and take care in how we respond to other people and how we affect other people. You can't always do, you try to do your best, you're going to fuck it up. But if you truly care and give a shit, I think that comes through, right? Is that what you, would you agree with that? You can tell who's,
I do.
Mean, who means well?
Well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you can. But no, I think if you have good intuition, not everyone does, but you can kind of know what someone's motives are.
And that's the most important thing, whether people say the right exact things or not. So we're not getting into minutia here. Anyway, I hope you guys don't fuck up out there. Be nice to people. It's the most important thing. I want to make sure that we get to talk about just one more time. I just want to remind you guys, go to Lantern Hall this Saturday, 8 p.m., Castle Black is on at 10. It's at 52 Harrison Place. Thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. And come to my show on Monday, January 29th at the Footlight, where I am doing a game show called Who's More Annoying? I've got three couples, and we are going to vote on which couple is the most annoying, and they get a free dinner. So it's going to be a very, very exciting night. And then also on Monday, after that, on Thursday, February 1st, we're going to have First Thursdays at the Well with three bands. But I also want to remind you to stay tuned, because you know who's on after this? It's amazing. It's Elon, the great Elon. You haven't met Elon, have you?
No.
He's awesome, and he does this really good show, Lost and Rewound. He's a really funny and really smart guy, and his show's all about he tapes and talking to people and stories and stuff like that. So, you should really, really stay and listen to him. And, just thanks for being here.